Good morning. Welcome to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. You're going to hear from men staying with us about their journeys with addiction and/or homelessness, their struggles and their triumphs, and how, with the help of Neighbors of Hope, they're learning that through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing? Okay, so today is the first Sunday of Lent, and usually here at Neighbors of Hope, during the season of Lent, we do a Lenten study, and it's really a journey through the Gospel of Mark. But we looked at earlier in the week, Mark doesn't really give us the three temptations that Matthew and Luke do, that Jesus embarks upon the beginning of his ministry. So today we thought we'd look at those temptations from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. So if I could have someone read that for us, that'd be great.
Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift up their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him alone until an opportune time.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. All right, gentlemen. A familiar passage. And as we mentioned earlier, we visited this a little bit earlier in the week. Having reread that, what jumps out at you?
Well, I think the temptations in general is Satan acknowledging that Jesus was the Son of God, for one.
Or minimally challenging that.
Okay.
Or maybe. I'm with you. I mean, oftentimes it seems as though the demons, the possessed, you know, "We know who you are, Jesus, Son of God. What do you want to do with us?" Mm-hmm. That kind of... But what's interesting, in all three of those, the address to Jesus is, "If you are the Son of God."
Well, didn't he have
I think you're right that the devil recognizes who he is, but he's probably really challenging, "Do you believe you are?"
Well, as he was being tempted, though, that's like the fully man part, right? So Satan is the prince of this world, so therefore he had the right to tempt him.
The right.
Yeah.
Can you flesh that out for me? What do you mean, the right?
Well, fully human means we're subjected to sin in this world. And if Satan is the prince of this world, he's the one that would tempt us. And so he's experiencing the fully man part. Okay. He's experiencing sin, temptation, the negativity that...
It's a little off topic. I mean... to some degree, this does somewhat parallel the story of Job. All right, so in the heavenly host, right, in the story of Job, you have the adversary showing up. "Where you been? I've been here and there and all over." All right. What about my boy Job? It parallels this because if you read in the very first line in chapter 4, Jesus is led into the desert by the Spirit. All right. Much like the heavenly host, God gives permission for the adversary to work on Job. Here, the Spirit leads him into this wilderness where he will be worked on.
Okay, I see.
All right. So it's not just the human, you know, fully God, fully human. It's not just the human component, because it has this divinely component as well.
Now, he had just been baptized before this?
Yes, in chapter 3 of Luke, he's baptized.
Okay, now some religions, they believe once you get saved, the first act of faith is you get baptized. So maybe this was like, he was baptized, now this is his first, he's going out to the wilderness to kind of...
Well, and here's the thing, when it comes to a season of Lent, I think it's important for us Christians to participate as much as we possibly can. Because if you recognize that the Spirit is taking you into the wilderness, it's just not about the temptation. It's a time, it's a season of preparation. All right? The Spirit is going to strengthen you. The Spirit is going to grow you. All right? It's just not about... that's an important line in this. Even in Mark's Gospel, which we look at a little closer during the season of Lent, after the baptism, it says, and immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness where he's tempted 40 days and 40 nights, and the angel of the Lord waited upon him. That's all Mark says. All right? We don't get these three temptations, but in all of them, the Spirit drove him. Now, do we really think the Holy Spirit is kind of out to get us? No. No, the Holy Spirit's an advocate.
Right.
Trying to prepare us, to strengthen us, to deepen our relationship with God, which is what Lent should be all about. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think too, like, we can look at it like in a sports world, right? Like, when it comes to athletes, like, they play their season of sports, right? They're like a football, they have a football season. Well, then they go into the off season. They can either choose to go through the, like, they follow the temptations to just live life, live it out, party, do whatever. Or they can choose to train that whole next season to prepare them for the up and coming season. And I think, you know, I think that's a good way to look at it, is it's not a step back when you go into the wilderness. It's to prepare you for the new comings of the world, of what's going to be harder. It's going to challenge you, and you have to be able to be prepared to get through those even harder times. And that could be in your lives. It could be, you know, Our families, we're aging. So we're aging. That means our parents are aging. So we got to prepare that for the loss of the loved ones in our life. So we got to, you know, prepare our hearts for that, help prepare them for that move and that transition, you know, as we go through, I think. And we also, it's always, you know, that even our hearts are changing at times when it comes to our purpose in the world. You know, we might get connected with something that's going on, that we need to go forward and switch our avenues to retrain ourselves to focus on this rather than this career in our lives.
Good, good. Anybody else? What jumps out at you?
And I think I get a little less, reading this time, I've always kind of had this word picture in my head of the devil being right on Jesus' shoulder and being a very secondary character in this. And this time I heard his words more so in Jesus' ear as this kind of nagging question that he might ask himself, or that we might ask ourselves as men, if you are the Son of God, those kind of things. We ask ourselves these identity questions, these big, and he finds him in these contemplative moments looking down at the city, or what have you, you know, and it's just interesting. I always pictured that as this very much so almost devil on the shoulder, cartoonish thing, which led me to it humanizes a lot more for me to see Jesus wrestling with these deep core identity issues that are, and then answering them with scripture, but wrestling with these deep core identity issues, it's not like it's uncommon tempting power, pride, position, all this stuff as men that we look at, and even if we want to, whether we consciously or subconsciously address those things in our life, we're concerned with them, you know. In our social circles and church and life, we're concerned with respect, and at the end of the day, how we respect ourselves.
Right.
And it's just interesting to see the Son of God wrestling with these same things.
You bring up a good point. I mean, ultimately, you know, do we believe that we're beloved of God? If so, then we're probably going to, like Jesus, you know, encounter certain temptations towards pleasure. All right, that'd be the first one with bread. All right, pride or prestige. You know, here you are on the top of the temple. Throw it down. God cares so much about you. Angels will come. Right? You're that important. You're prestigious. You're right. We, you know, sometimes we want to be the one out front. And then you have, you know, the temptation for power. So pleasure, prestige, power. You know, here, bow down, worship me. Surrender your deepest, truest identity, and I'll give you all the power. All right? So anytime we're wrestling with one of those three things, we are really wrestling with our deepest, truest identity. And if we want to draw closer to the one who names us, right, we need to confront those things. Lent, the season of Lent, provides us an opportunity to be intentional about confronting those. That's good. Thank you. Thank you. Anything you want to throw in there?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, how I'm going in my journey, I think the temptation is resisting the temptation is building strength, is building character, is building a positive way of, more positive way of life. You know, I don't get me wrong. I mean, it's the temptations are going to be there, you know, through life. We've been through them in our addiction. You know, and it's like, you know, a prayer that I said yesterday. It's like, Jesus, I need to be, as I was in my addiction, be addicted to you. You know what I mean? And it just, you know, it's a hard thing, you know, because, you know, to resist the temptations that we know to go back to, you know. But I think, like I said, if we longer we resist and you know, it makes us stronger.
And you bring, that's the point. And that's what we always have to come back to, all right? Is this really meant to hurt me, or is this really measuring the integrity of my faith? The integrity of my commitment to the truth that I'm a beloved child of God. All right? So anything that comes towards me, I have to, right? It invites me to distract myself from that truth. Do I cling to the distraction, or do I retreat from the distraction and cling to the truth? Right? Well, I mean, Jesus was there a long time. I'm sure that boy was hungry, you know. And you know, here's a stone. We all know you can do it if you're the Son of God. You know, makes this into bread. That's a physical thing, right? I mean, we all know when we eat, we feel better. So that's why we talk about pleasure. So we're all going to be confronted with opportunity source pleasure. We're all going to have this little secret drive to be prestigious, you know, to be the one who shines. We all like to have a little power. Now, all those things in and of themselves are not sinful, right? Food is not bad, but gluttony maybe, right? Recognition isn't bad, but the pursuit to constantly be in the limelight, right? You may be obsessed with that. You're going to have authority at some time. Maybe that's in a job. Maybe that's within your family. Right? That's not bad. But if you have this authority and you want more authority and you want more authority, you got to keep those things in check. Clinging to your deepest, truest identity as a beloved son of God, a beloved child, right? That helps prevent the obsession. Right? And that's what we see in these temptation stories. I mean, if you are the Son of God, then, no, I am the Son of God. I don't need pleasure. If you are the Son of God, then, no, I am the Son of God. I don't need prestige. If you are the Son of God, then, no, I am the Son of God. I don't need all that power. All right? The fullness of my deepest, truest identity is being a beloved child of God. Clinging to that. Lent is an opportunity to remind us on a daily basis. Let's cling to this identity. Let's cling to it. Well, then after 40 days, much like Jesus, we're paralleling this, right? cling to your deepest, truest identity for the next 40 days, my guess is you'll come out of that wilderness resurrected.
Yeah.
You know, metaphorically speaking.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, like, wilderness, if you really look at what a wilderness is, and you're different, even in the different biomes, is this kind of idea that we all get something, we all get something out of it, you know? It's a system. It's a systematic system that's working, and we're all getting a little bit. Not everybody, no one's getting an over amount. So, like, because it's a wildness. So there's wild animals, there's vegetation of some sort, there's a way that the ecosystem works within those wildernesses that they just operate perfectly and peacefully, where everyone's getting something out of it, but no one's getting a majority of it when it comes to, like, all the different pieces.
Good. All right, gentlemen. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. I thank all of you for your contributions to this edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry, our women's and children's ministry center, the Blessings and More Donation Center, our Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Woven Hope Women's Boutique, and of course, this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Currently, we're also in the process of establishing our first Good Neighbor Center. To find out how you can become a neighbor of hope, visit neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.